Good morning. Brother Tavis Brown from Dallas, Texas, covered your prayers this morning. Every time we stand before the people of God, I recognize I can't do anything without him. So I'm depending on him yet again this morning. And the thought that the Lord has given, I've been carrying it for a little while. Several months ago, I was looking to the Lord for a message and started working on that message, and he started giving me something else. So again, I desire your prayers this morning. It's my desire this morning that the thought that the Lord has given would be presented in a way that he would desire to be able to get across what he would have this morning. The thought this morning is one consecrated life. I separated it on purpose because this part in the middle, that all depends on us. And it depends on our will. God has given us all life. You know, each day that God gives us, his life is a gift and a blessing from him. But that consecrated part, that's where our part comes in. And just to give a little definition this morning, that word consecrated, that root word means dedicated to a sacred, specific purpose. And that word sacred is set apart for service. So again, all of us, we have life. Each and every day that God allows us to open our eyes and we see the light of another day, we have life. But whether we're consecrated, whether the one life that God gives us is consecrated, whether it's set apart for a specific purpose for him, that's up to me and that's up to you. I'd like to lay a foundation in terms of just the life that God gives us. Let's begin in the 118th Psalm, and I would like to read verse 24. It says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, we all have life, but our life consists of one day at a time. You know, that's the only thing we have. You know, often you hear the expression about tomorrow is not promised to us. We've heard it earlier in this meeting, and we know that each day that God gives us is special. It's something from him, and we don't know if we'll have tomorrow. So our life consists of days. So we take it one day at a time. Reminder of the song, it says, "One day at a time, sweet Jesus." You know, sometimes the enemy would like us to try to look at our lives, too much of our lives at one time. You know, when we look at different ones, you say, well, I desire to have a consecrated life, but maybe you look at somebody that you look up to and you see the things that God is doing in their life. That's wonderful, and it's good to have those kinds of people that you look up to, but you know you got to take it one day at a time. And in his word here, he says, "This is the day that the Lord has made." Recognizing again, it's something that God made. God gives life to us each day. What do we do with each day that God gives us? You know, that can be a something that we consecrate on a daily basis. Lord, I find myself, praying when I pray, "Lord, help me today." In the word that the words and my actions that they would be pleasing and honoring to you. You know, we talked about this morning in Sunday school. It was a wonderful lesson about influence and recognizing the influence that each and every one of us has in our lives. You know, that influence begins one day at a time. You know, help me, Lord. The words, the song says, words that be fitly spoken. Lord, the words that I speak each day, are they going to have an effect? What are the words that are coming out of my mouth? Help me, Lord, to speak. I want to uplift and encourage somebody today. Each day that God gives me, Lord, if I can uplift somebody today, if I can encourage them, if I can inspire them in some kind of way, help me, Lord, to be found in that place on a daily basis. Lord, this is the day that you have made, Help me to rejoice and be glad in it. Help me not to be one that, oh, I got to get up and go to work again. You know, is that how God gives us a day and we wake up complaining? Help me. I have to be careful too. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, that when I wake up with joy and gladness, and it's just, Lord, how do you want to use me today, Lord? This is the day the Lord has made. Let me rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, Lord. What opportunities, Lord, do you have for me today? I want to be used of you on a daily basis. And then we put those days together, and that's how we get a life that's consecrated to God. One day at a time. And enjoying every gift that God gives us. What, you know, it's each day that God gives, what do we give back to God? He gives me a day, Lord, thank you for this day that you have given me. Now, what can I do in return? How can I return it back to you today in some kind of way? You know, I realize that we have to live life. We understand that, and it's necessary. We have responsibilities that we have on a daily basis. But, you know, we need to do those things to survive. But even in those things, in all the things that we do, we can still have a life that's consecrated to God. Going back to the Sunday school lesson this morning, wherever we are, that's the field, right? You know, we think about each and every one of us that we're around. We all go to different places, right? There's a little, so that's a, if you allow me to use this term, it's a little church. You're a little church everywhere you go, right? God is with you. If God is with you, you and God, that's two, right? He said wherever two or three, you understand what I'm saying. But there's even in that. Help me, Lord, to have a life consecrated to you, to have an effect on those around me on a daily basis. I think about, this thought of a consecrated life. There were some things in my personal life, just in my profession, that I desired to achieve. But I realized that God didn't, he allowed me to achieve them, but there was a certain level in terms of my spiritual life that God had me get to before he allowed me to achieve those things that I desired personally. So, again, it's just, what's the most important thing? I say we have to live life and we have to do those things that are necessary for life. But I want my life to be consecrated, a consecrated life to God. Let's go to Acts 17th chapter and the 28th verse. It says, for in him, it's in him that we live, that we move, and that we have our being. In him we move and live and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. So we recognize the only reason that we have life is because God gave it to us. If he said, no, not today, then we wouldn't have today. So it's in him that we live and that we move. So our very existence comes from God. Our very life comes from God. And it's only because of him that we're able to live and that we move and we have our being. So it just seems like it should almost be automatic. We're his creation. We're his offspring. We're created from him. So the very one that gives me the ability to do anything that I'm able to do, it's only because of him, right? So doesn't it make sense that I should use it for his purpose? We're his offspring, right? When Jesus was here on the earth, what did he do? And what we're here now. So, Lord, help me to do what you want me to do. with the very life and breath that you give. You know, whatever, if God gives you a special intelligence or whatever it might be, how can I use it for God? How can I use it to further the kingdom of God? Because I recognize without him, what can I do? Can any of us? You know, I know it even as men, sometimes we it's natural to be able to kind of show our strength sometimes, maybe, and just our resolve sometimes. But you know what? If it wasn't for God, we couldn't do it anyways. Right? If he didn't allow it, so thank you, Lord. Even the very strength that you give, thank you, Lord. Amen. Something that we shouldn't take for granted. You know, sometimes it's difficult for us as human beings. We're very possessive people, aren't we? It's just the natural. It's that's the inclination of mankind to be possessive of the things that belong to us. Right? And sometimes we have a tendency to hold them kind of tight, right? It's just natural. You know, we talk about whatever it is, that's mine, right? That belongs to me. You know, there's been some things that's been lost, right? So if you come and say, that belongs to me, that's mine, can I have it back, please? And the expectation, yeah, we expect people to honor that. Our life belongs to God. He's the one that gave it to me. So, you know, what if God was as possessive as we were as human beings? How would it be? If God said, okay, I've given you life, and you're not living it in a way that's pleasing and honoring to me, so I'll just take it away. It would be a little different, wouldn't it? If God was as possessive as we are, you know, if somebody picks up something that's yours that you're not aware that they have it, right? That's fine, you can use it, but that's mine. Well, when you finish, can I have it back? That belongs to me, right? So what if God was like that? How you doing? Well, you're not doing like you're supposed to. I'm going to just take it back. But in his love and in his mercy, he's so kind, isn't he? And he extends. I'm so thankful for that mercy. You know, because I believe that we talk about this consecrated life. God has different levels for us. As we go through life and as we draw closer to him, you know, sometimes we maybe don't progress as quickly as God desires us to. But in his love and in his mercy, he works with us, doesn't he? And that's so wonderful, isn't it? We think about what he did when he was here. He was about his father's business, wasn't he? That's what he did. Lord, help me to be in that same place. I want to be doing, Lord, whatever you want me to do. I want to be pleasing you. I want to have a life that's consecrated to you. One way of thinking about it is, how do we wait for opportunities, or do we seek opportunities? You know, that's something that we can, Lord, help me to be, ask God to broaden our horizons, to make us more aware of opportunities to be able to be used of him. He can, you know, if we ask God those things, he'll put us in positions and situations where we can be used of him. So we don't have to, well, if we're looking for them, rather than waiting for something to just fall in our lap, there's a difference there. Help me to be looking for ways that I can be used of God. Because there's a sobering aspect of this. One day, you and I, individually, you know, it's so wonderful to be around the people of God. Hasn't this meeting been wonderful? You're just surrounded by your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. But there's going to be a day where each and every one of us, all alone, we're going to have to stand before God. And we're going to have to answer the question when he says, What did you do with the life that I gave you? What's going to be our response? We're all going to have to give an account.
Yes, amen.
I'd like to turn to a very familiar text of Scripture in the 25th chapter of Matthew. It's a little bit of reading here. It's the parable of the talents. And I know this is a story that all of us are familiar with, but I'd like us to look into it a little bit and think about what's being said here. Matthew 25, I'll start at verse 14 and read down through verse 29. Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 14 through 29. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway he took his journey. And he that had received the 5 talents, he went and traded with some and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged into the earth and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast sown, and gathering where thou hast strawed. And I was afraid. I was afraid. And I went and I hid thy talent into the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I had sown and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For every one that hath shall be given, and he that shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. I mean, we've heard this story time and time again. But I'd like us to look at a few things and compare it to each and every one of our lives. In this parable, the illustration here is given, and it says that he went off to a far country. So those that were given the talents, no doubt they thought in their mind, while he's going somewhere, they probably had an understanding of where he was going and how far away it was and maybe how long it was going to take for him to get there and then do whatever business he had to do there in this parable, right? And then to be able to come back. So there probably was some kind of time aspect where they had a general idea and knew kind of how long that the master was going to be gone. And then something else. He left, right? In this instance, he gave them the talents and then he left them. And they were up to their own devices, so to speak, to try to figure out, now what am I going to do with this? Now let's take that parable and compare it to each and every one of our lives. What God gives us, right? Where is he? He's right here. Does he ever leave us? Well, what's the scripture say? He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So whatever talent that God has given you in your life, whatever divine purpose that he has for you, he'll help you to know how to use it. He's right there with us. And he doesn't leave us, say, here, this is what my desire is for you. This is how I want you to be used of me. Now go figure it out on your own. God doesn't do that, does he? He helps us every step of the way. And there's one other thing that's a little bit different for us in our lives in this parable. Our one life that each and every one of us has. When we're born, do we know how long we have? Did any of us? I mean, we don't know. So if I don't know how long I have, would it not behoove me to be doing what God wants me to do? Why would I delay? Why would I wait? And I'm thank God for his faithfulness to us, even in the times that we delay. I think about I was in my 30s when you know, again, levels of consecration when God called me into the ministry. I'm thankful for his patience with me. But, you know, we don't know how long we have. So it's up to us to be whatever life that God. Again, we talked about how each day, right? It starts with a day. Each day that God gives, I want it to be consecrated to you, Lord. In thinking about what purpose God has for each and every one of our lives, he has something special for each one. And God gives whatever he has you to do in the kingdom of God, he fits it for you. He doesn't ask you to do like some other brother or some other sister. He wants to use you and what he's given you. You know, it's fine to be able to look up to those that you admire, but you be used in the way that God would want to use you. You know, that's why we don't compare ourselves one with another, right? We're all different. You know, the way that we think about things, the way that we understand things, the way that we're able to break down things to one another. You just think about in this meeting, how many different ministers have stood behind this pulpit. The Bible is the same, but just the way that God uses each one to present his word. God has specific things just for our personality and makeup. He wants to use us in the way that he desires. But in order to be able to make that happen, I have to consecrate my life. I have to say, Lord, they sung the song, didn't they, this morning? Take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. It's not even mine anyways, right? Take my hands. Take my feet. Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to say amen to it. Again, the talents, the way that God wants to use us is specifically designed for us. And you know what happens? Just like in this parable, it's interesting, isn't it, how people that are busy seem like they're always busy. Think about that. Think about hearing the talents. The one that had the five. went and did whatever was necessary, bartered, traded, whatever he did, but somehow he gained more. When God sees us using and being used in a way that he desires, then he'll continue to use us and multiply those things within us. But what about if I'm not, if my life is not consecrated? If I'm holding back and I'm not using for God's divine purpose what he wants me to do? You know what has to happen? What happened in the parable? What happened to the one that had the one talent and buried it? God took it away from him and put it on somebody else. So now think about this as in we all y'all have loads that we carry, right? And God intended each and every one of us to carry our own load, right? But if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, then somebody else has to pick up the slack now, and now somebody else is overloaded. Lord, help me to do my part. Whatever it is, it doesn't have to be great. It's just whatever God wants you to do. You know, everybody can't be a preacher. But there's plenty of other things to do. Somebody mentioned earlier in this meeting, you willing to pray at prayer meeting? You willing up to get up and sing a special? What about cleaning the church? All these things are important. Everybody has to do their part. Whatever it is that God desires for you to do, do it with all your heart and with all your might. God has something specific for each and every one of us, and it's tailor-made for us. You know, there are times maybe that we have to do things that are outside of our comfort zone, but God will give us the grace and the strength that we need. I don't know if anybody ever had a tailor-made suit. You had a suit that was, they did all your measurements. They measure everything and then they size it perfectly for you. What would happen if somebody else took your tailor-made suit and tried to put it on? Would it work? No. Think about God, each and every one of us being used in his kingdom. It's tailor-made for us. What God wants you to do is made specifically for you. And when somebody else has to do it, it just doesn't fit right. It doesn't fit right. Let's carry the load that God wants us to carry so we don't have to put extra burden on others and those around us. You know, that part in the middle is all has to do with something here. It's our will. And you know what? God doesn't make anybody do anything. He gave us a will. Whosoever will, right? The song says. So it's up to each and every one of us. But you know what? With that will, just recognize that if I didn't do this, one day I'm going to have to give account.
That's right.
I'm going to have to stand before God and say, why did I not live a life that was consecrated to you? What did I do? Lord, you gave me life. You gave me breath. You gave me time and talents. What did I do with it? Did I go and dig a hole and bury it?
Lord, help
us. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 lets us know we will have to give an account. I made reference to this, but we'll read the scripture now. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. It says, for we must all. That means none of us are going to be exempt. Every single one of us, every single person that has ever lived and breathed a breath of life is going to have to appear before God. We will appear before the judgment seat of Christ that everyone may receive the things done in this body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So in other words, it's going to be a time where I'm going to receive the reward for what I did with the life that God gave me. You know, all of us that have a job or work for someone or do work for people, what happens? We do work and then we get paid, right? And we just, it's an automatic cycle that we expect. So one day we're going to have to, we'll get the wages for the life that God has given us. You know, sometimes there's bad employees, right? And as long as they're employed, they still get paid, don't they? Until sometimes maybe when they don't have a job. But, you know, then they can go try to find another one. And maybe if they realize, you know, I haven't been very good, I need to change some ways about me. But you know what? When we stand before God, that's it. We got one life. There's not a chance to say, I'm sorry, Lord. No, I didn't do what you wanted me to do. Can I just have, just give me another chance and let me do it over? We can't. Say, what did you do for me? Well, Lord, it was too hard. It was too difficult what you were asking me to do. It was just, why didn't you ask somebody else to do it? It was hard for me. It's tailor-made. And what did he say? My grace is sufficient. You know, God, it's okay to go to God and say, Lord, I need some help here. I'm uncomfortable or I'm just, I don't feel right in this. Lord, would you help me? It's more important to obey, right? Lord, please, I want to do your will. But what if I mess up? Are you afraid to mess up for God? Plus, the thing about it, look around. Right. Everybody loves you. Right. What do you think is going to happen? You preachers get up here and can't remember that sometimes, can't get to the scriptures, fumble on words. Yes. Y'all forgive us, don't you? Yes. Yes. Who else? What more other people would you want to be around where you make a mistake? When it's time to pray and you can't get the words out. Thank the Lord for that prayer. It was encouragement to you. Amen. Even though it was five words. Yes. Help me, Lord. Yes. What am I willing to do? Yes. What did Jesus say? Would things get hard for him? Did things get difficult for him? Yes, they did. Remember when he was in the garden? He prayed one time, huh? No, two times. Three times, right? How many do we expect sometimes that we're going to just pray one time and then God just going to... Lord, I want to do whatever you desire me to do. Lord, and I'm going to pray until I pray, until you give me what I need to give me the courage or whatever I need to be able to be found in that place that you want me to be. Amen. Jesus said, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's not about me. Lord, you gave me this life. You give me breath. It's not about me. I want you to do what you want me to do. When we've consecrated that life, we're going to get a reward. Yes. Matthew 16 and 27. Yeah. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall reward every man according to his works. Got a special crown with your name on it. Do you know that your crown has your name on it? It's just for you. And when we have a life that's consecrated to God, then we can go and claim that crown. I can't claim somebody else's. I can only claim mine to receive the reward for a life consecrated to God. The encouragement this morning is when God calls, answer. Respond. As if he didn't know already. God knows everything. I'm going to say that one more time. God knows everything. Remember Adam and Eve? When they was in the garden and they had displeased God and they felt the shame and the condemnation, and so they thought, you know what? I can't face God today, so we'll hide. How are you going to hide from the one that created the world? You gonna find a hiding place somewhere? He created the entire world. He knows every nook and cranny, so to speak. God knows where we are. We're not hiding it from anyone. We're just deceiving ourselves and allowing the enemy to trick us. You ever had a time where you have parents, and this example of parents and children. You're a child that you hear your parent calling you, but you're not sure. What do you do? Or maybe you heard them, but you pretend like you didn't hear them. You know, my children know that if I call you, even if you think or you might, you don't just. Well, you know, and here's another one. Yes. I responded to you in a little quiet voice. They can't even hear. No, when I call you, whatever you're doing, you stop what you're doing and you come and find me. We're talking about Almighty God here. When he calls out to each and every one of us, how do we respond? Well, maybe he's not calling me. Maybe. We know. We know when God's calling us. There's no doubt about it. How do we respond? There is no better place in this life to be in but in the center of God's will. There's no better place. A life that is fully consecrated to God. I'm reminded of the song. It says, Jesus, he gave his life for me. He gave it for me individually. He made it possible that I could live in this miserable world with peace and joy in my heart. That's only because of him. And since he did that for me, and he's the one that's giving me life and breath on a daily basis, isn't the least I could do is give mine back to him? And not something half-heartedly. We heard it earlier in this meeting about barely putting your foot in. What one brother earlier in the meeting talked about, he fully gave himself to God. Right, Brother Darrell said, for 6 months. And he's been going for the Lord ever since. Since Jesus gave his life for me, shall I not give him mine? I'm consecrated, Lord, to thee. I shall be wholly thine. Because just everything that we have, just like that, God can take it away. We heard about Job earlier in the meeting as well. It all belongs to God anyways. Some of the other verses in that song, it says, though he may call, I care not where my Lord directs. Does it matter? When God is calling, can we say, I don't want to do it? What if he decided, I don't want to give you breath then? What again, if God treated us like we treat him sometimes, Lord have mercy on us. Thank you, Lord, that you're not like us. Thank you, Lord, because you've been so loving and kind and compassionate to me. Thank you, Lord. His purpose I'll fulfill. I know he everyone protects who does his holy will. My life, oh Lord. Is it really mine, though? We say my life. Again, it goes back to that possessiveness that we have as human beings. It's the life that God gave me, so it's really not mine. But Lord, what you've given me, my life, oh Lord, I give to thee, my talents, my time, my all. I'll serve thee, Lord, thine own to be. I'll hear your roaring call. I'm talking like faint whisper. You got to be attentive, right? You have to be attentive to hear a faint whisper. You got to be listening, right? You have to be tuned in, thank the Lord, to hear that faint whisper. Because if you're so cumbered about with the cares of life, you can miss it. My home, my friends, they're dear. We love them. But there's something that's even dearer. When I stand before God, my home and my family, they're not going to be with me. I'm going to have to stand all alone by myself and give an account for the life that God gave me. But he is dearer still in my affections. First he'll be, and his will, not mine. My all. We heard about that earlier in this meeting, didn't we? Are we all in? My all, O Lord, I give to thee. Accept it as thine own. For thee alone I'll ever live. My heart shall be thy throne. We have one life. One life. Is it consecrated? Is it consecrated? If it's not consecrated, there's no better time than now. You can't do anything with the time that's already gone. We can't reclaim that. But you know what? From this point forward, by the grace of God, we can have a life consecrated to him. And if you don't know him, if you don't have a personal relationship, there were so many appeals during this meeting. Maybe you missed all those. There's still time. While there's life and breath, there's hope. Get acquainted with God. Get acquainted with him. Surrender your life to him and then consecrate it to him. I desire your prayers. Seems like God is calling for another level. Help me, Lord. I want to answer the call. I want to be the vessel that you have me to be. I want to use what you've given me as you see fit. Realize it's not mine. Help me, Lord. I pray that these few thoughts this morning have been an encouragement, have been a stir. Where are we as we go through this life? Is the one life that we have, is it consecrated to God? I desire your prayers. I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.